Welcome, fans of the Hawk Talk podcast. We are back for another great episode where we're going to be previewing the A-10 tournament for the St. Joseph's Hawks. And of course, I am joined by a co-host. It's not our usual co-host. This time, it's a semi-usual co-host, Riley Frayne. Riley, welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you so much for having me. I always love coming on here with you. Usually Pete talking, a little bit of Hawks hoops, but I got some big shoes to fill today while Pete's away. So hopefully I can step in and do a decent job for you guys.
Pete is relaxing in beautiful Hawaii. He's probably watching He's going to wake up at 4 a.m. tomorrow to watch the Hawks, who start at like 11:30 in the morning. That will be an interesting sight for him. But we'll give a shout out to Pete, and I know he'll be on the episode. Hopefully, me and Riley will be doing a couple more of these this week when the Hawks get some wins and we string something together. That's what I'm thinking, Riley.
I'm hopeful as well, Tony. A big matchup against George Mason tomorrow. I'm sure we're going to get into it. A little bit of an up and down season, but you know, we're looking to end it off the right way here. So
Riley, I got to ask the first question, and you know, I write for A-10 Talk. We're rival sites, but we're coming together and in love and harmony. My site, A-10 Talk, keeps tweeting out about this guy who doesn't wear his shoes in the stadium. I need to know, do you see the man without the shoes at the A-10 tournament? This is his second year appearance. He lets those piggies fly.
Yeah, he does. So last year I was seated with all the A-10 Talk guys. I've become very friendly with a lot of great guys over there. And last year I was prime real estate to see the St. Louis fan who was not wearing any shoes. Unfortunately, this year, I'm on the other side of press row from where he was seated last year and where he's seated again this year for today's St. Louis matchup. So I didn't get to see the toes flying this year, but I had Michael Bregman from A-10 Talk sending me consistent updates, and you know, we're all getting a kick out of it. But listen, if St. Louis keeps winning and he's taking the shoes off, maybe there's something to it, you know, Tony?
Yeah, and they did win today, didn't they?
Yep, they did.
Incredible. And we got a LaSalle win, if I'm not mistaken. Did. And what was the other one? Oh, Fordham, wow.
Over Davidson early this morning.
Yeah, with an overtime. Yeah. Win. So, yeah. I know we're talking about St. Joe's basketball, but yeah, we're already talking about the stadium. So, Riley, just give us a little background. What have you seen so far, just in general? What's the mood in the stadium? Give the people a firsthand view.
Yeah, so day one of the A-10 tournament, you know, you got the pillow fight, as we A-10 fans have come to affectionately call it, that first round of the A-10 tournament, and it's always a little empty. You know, maybe for the second game of the afternoon, particularly LaSalle, GW was the matchup this year. You know, you start to get a little bit of a crowd, but definitely by the late night games, it was starting to empty out a little bit for St. Louis, URI. I think maybe one of the big reasons for that was we just, in the pillow fight today, we didn't get a lot of offense despite Fordham and Davidson going to overtime. I think Fordham shot below 30% pretty much the entire contest, and it took a comeback finish in overtime for them to get the win. LaSalle GW came down to the last minute as well, but again, not a lot of offense. I think it was something like 19 turnovers in the first half between LaSalle and GW. I might be mistaken. That might have been the Fordham-Davidson matchup, but either way, it just speaks to the lack of offense we saw today. And finishing off, we got a little bit of a more back-and-forth contest. Jaden House and we had Gibson Jimerson kind of going back and forth with blows for St. Louis and Rhode Island, which made it a little more entertaining of a matchup, but Rhode Island just kind of went cold late in the second half, and St. Louis was able to see it out. I think it was an 8-0 run after the U4 media timeout from St. Louis that reestablished their advantage late in the game, and from then on out, Rhode Island kind of just went cold, allowing St. Louis to see it out at the free throw line and get that three-point win. And on top of that, Rhode Island still had two chances at the buzzer to try and tie it up, send it to overtime, and they missed both of them. So just really wasn't Rhode Island's day, particularly in the second half with how cold they went. And it kind of speaks to the overall tone of the day. It was just a lack of offense, but we certainly got some entertaining, scrappy, like physical games. I know Travis Ford spoke a ton about it in the press conference after St. Louis, Rhode Island, just how physical today was. So hoping for a little more offense, you know, tomorrow morning when we kick off with St. Joe's George Mason, and hopefully that'll set the trend for tomorrow, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's I was going to ask if there's any interesting coaching moments, but I will say one thing. You know, these teams, unfortunately, the way St. Joe's is stacked up in the rankings, we're not going to see any of these teams unless they go on an insane run, right? So, you know, we got to play George Mason, and then we'll stack up against Richmond if we win. Correct me if I'm wrong. We don't reseed after every round, I believe.
No, we do not.
Okay, good. That would ruin the whole thing. Even though no, there are a good amount of people who would demand that reseeding happen after every round. which is crazy.
I do think it creates some interesting dynamics in certain conferences, but I appreciate the way we do it in the A10, even if it, you know, the tournament's maybe a little more drawn out than if you look at a conference who doesn't put everyone into their conference tournament. We still get some entertaining matchups. You get a team like St. Louis winning in the first round, they'll be the lowest seeded team remaining tomorrow. You never know. Maybe they make a run. You know, this is March, Tony.
Yep. And St. Joe's did a run like that last year, right?
Absolutely.
So let's get into St. Joe's, because I think heading into this game, I'm expecting another run like that. A two-game run. And I'm just being honest with fans, right? I'm not trying to say I don't believe that the team can do anything great, or I'm going to like doubt that we can win games. But I think reasonably asking for a two-win streak, which would be a pretty good thing, beating a Richmond team that has just been resilient all year long, and beating a George Mason team, which we escaped with a win at home against. So that's my expectation. What do you think? What would you be happy with from this team going into today? I know we're in a win-by-win mentality. Win the next game, win the next game, win the next game. I understand that. But I'm just saying, with expectations, right? If we win this game and lose close one to Richmond, I think people would be a little upset. But I think the goal is just to get a little bit further than what we did last year. I think that would be a reasonable ask.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit tougher this year based on kind of the seedings we have. And, obviously not getting the bye, knowing we're going to play George Mason ahead, you know, in advance of today. To your point, Tony, I'm not a part of the program. I'm happy to, you know, give a little bit more of an overarching view. Like you said, I mean, every team in March is kind of just game by game basis. You win one, on to the next. But, you know, so looking at St. Joe's, what do we think would be, you know, gives us something positive to take here from the A10 tournament? Obviously, you start with a win over George Mason. Really good program. They've done a lot of exciting things in first year under head coach Tony Skin. He's really rebuilt this program from the ground up, and it's certainly going to be a challenge. I think you said they barely edged us out, or we ended up beating them by two in conference play, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
right?
I think that was the one with the Lynn Greer layup at the
end. Yeah. It's there. George Mason is a very up and down team. Clearly, they're very streaky is a better way to put it. They'll win a couple in a row. They'll lose a couple in a row. They've been that way throughout conference play. I'm going to check right now how they finished out the season, back-to-back wins. So perhaps that bodes a little bit better for George Mason, you know, heading into conference tournament here. Like I said, they've been streaky, but starting with that George Mason game, you know, obviously looking at overarching expectations for St. Joe's, you need a win there. It starts there, whether it's close. Like I said, George Mason is a really good team, a lot of talent. Keyshawn Hall is probably an all-conference first team, if not second team selection. I know Eric Reynolds was on the awards list this morning for first team. I haven't had a chance to look over the whole thing. I've been running around all day.
We will be talking about that. Don't worry.
To my point, I just start with a win over George Mason. It's simple to say that, but we need to get everyone involved. Lynn Greer's been a little Eric Reynolds has been a little up and down in conference play. The shooting hasn't been great to end the year. Hopefully, you know, we turn a bit of a corner with him here in conference play. Obviously, X Brown has just been solid throughout. Freshman, I'm excited for him to kind of get a feel for what a conference tournament brings, you know, what playing in March brings for a younger guy like him. And on top of that, our last matchup, I know it wasn't bit of a tale of two halves. We went down early against Davidson, and it ended up being not a big deal, pulling out the win in the second half. But I think that bodes well for St. Joe's heading into the tournament, despite the fact that it's been such an up-and-down year. Get a little bit of confidence heading into the tournament. I think it was you guys actually tweeted it out, just how efficient Rashier was in that game. It's definitely been a bit of a downward trend for him in conference play, so I think that was fantastic to see. Just like a little bit of life to this team after a Richmond loss. I know we had beat Fordham, but that was expected. We should have beat Fordham. So there's just a little bit of life to this St. Joe's program, hopefully starting to build. You take that win over George Mason. I think Richmond's going to be a tough contest. Hopefully we can keep it close with them, but I think a win over them would be huge. And to me, that would a win over Richmond would be exceeding
enough
expectations a little bit. Because just because they're the number one seed in the conference, they've been so consistent, like you mentioned. And I know looking back on last year, it would be nice to be able to match that double win in the A-10 tournament. But I think just based on seeding and everything, and kind of how we fell apart in conference play a little bit after such a hot start to the season. Let's get through George Mason, and let's give a competitive contest against Richmond. And I think at least it gives St. Joe's fans something to kind of hang their hat on, that we, you know, contested with the number one team in the conference in Brooklyn, even though maybe the season, looking back on it, wasn't necessarily what we had hoped for, you know, especially after such a hot start in the non-conference portion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, of all the teams that we could have drawn up against, I was kind of not hoping Richmond. We played VCU close, right? I would consider that we played them close. You know, they beat us by whatever margin. It wasn't like 1 point, but we hung with them in their arena for an entire game, and they were just hot. Dayton, you know, we saw our flashes against Dayton. We know we can hang with them. The question is, how long can you hang with them? Which is easier said than done. And what was the other one? UMass, which is like just so strange that they got that high up. Remember, like they had dropped four or five in a row in conference play.
Yeah.
But their win against VCU comes and helps them out at home, their home win against them, and gets them the tiebreaker. So, long story short, I was kind of scared of Richmond the most, because that is the team we technically struggled the most against out of all the four. Yeah. If I really said, like, who handled us for an entire 40 minutes, it's those guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little worried about that game. But as we said, we can't get to that game unless we win the last one. And I think looking at the matchup, kind of getting into that aspect of the game, it's going to come down to rebounding. Keyshawn Hall is a good rebounder.
Yeah.
He leads the league in defensive rebounds. But Rashear Fleming is one of our top offensive rebounders in the entire league. So it is going to come down to the big men. And that's so important, because if Casper plays well, that just helps us out so much more. And I've kind of gotten in arguments with my friends about this. Who's the most important to the team? Is it the guard play? Is it the forwards? I think it's equally both. You have three good guards. You have two good forwards, center, forward, with the potential for a third one. Cam Brown, neutral, because he plays both parties. But I think if you ask me, like, who, if they improved, would we benefit the most from, it's going to be Casper. So it's the forwards. If the forwards can play really well, it's going to be important. Yes, the guards need to make good decisions. Yes, they need to play with active hands in the passing lane, get some easy points. Yes, they need to know how to or when to shoot, right? That's all important in guard play, but that's standard guard play. I need Casper to make the right play. I need Casper just to finish at the rim. If he finishes half the baskets he misses, and I know it's not all his fault, but you see those go up and out all the time. You see open layups or somewhat semi-contested layups, and you just know if it was Rashear making that layup, he's so athletic, it would go in. So I think for me, that's the big key to the game is Casper going to show up? Is he going to help in case any one of our other guys gets into foul trouble? Because that's really where we need him to come through.
Mm-hmm. So I think to further your point a little bit, Tony, to me, and again, building off of what you just said, to me, I think the biggest thing is, can St. Joe's bring it for a full 40 minutes? That's been really the toughest thing in conference play for us, I feel like. It's like you look back at even the recent Davidson win down in the first half, able to pull it out in the second, but again, a full 40 and they dominate that win. I'm thinking about the Davidson, of course, the Dayton loss is an easy one to pick out, because we had them at the half and defense just completely letting us down in the second half. So I think you need to see a full 40, and critical to that is going to be some of these more so like role players, to your point, Casper, having a good game and being able to, I think we match up with George Mason well in terms of we can handle their size. We can deal with them on the interior if our guys like Kreese, Rashear, and Casper are playing well. Like Casper's shown it in stretches here toward the end of the season. I feel like since he's been called upon to kind of step into the roster with all the injuries and the time Kreese has been missing. I think Rashear, like I mentioned before, he's been a little up and down in conference play, but last week, double-double, or one rebound shy of a double-double against Davidson.
Yeah.
So can those guys bring it for a full 40 minutes to kind of aid the guard play and to be able to hold off some of the size that George Mason has? I think they're capable, but again, it's a big question mark of it's kind of game by game with St. Joe's.
And it's so fun. I was going to say, it's so funny because in my preview, I was kind of telling Riley this about that. I was writing something for A10 Talk before we started recording. Literally, what I finished my preview as I said, there are a few starting fives as well-rounded as this team in the conference. And I go, St. Joe's could be the team we saw that beat Villanova and gave Kentucky headaches. The question is, do they want to be that team? Uh-huh. Do those guys want to be that team? Because I can't make them be that team. You can't make them be that team. We know the pieces are there. But it's one thing to have talent. It's another thing to do it for 40 full minutes. I think that's exactly, I'm in total agreement because I wrote this literally before this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I did the A-10 preview for Mid-Major Madness as well, and I wrote something very similar, Tony. It's a matter of which St. Joe's is going to show up tomorrow. I think if the St. Joe's shows up where that we saw at the beginning, and I know it's easy to say, the St. Joe's that we saw at the beginning of the year, where they're competing, upsetting Villanova and Princeton, competing with Kentucky, you know, coming into conference play with a winning record, receiving top 25 votes at one point from the AP poll, versus the team we've seen in conference play that's so up and down, can't really bring it for a full 40 minutes, is Rashier struggling one night, Casper struggling the next, the guards are struggling another night. There's got to be some balance to it where they can figure out a way to – balance is the wrong word, but they've got to figure out a way to be able to bring it for a full 40 minutes, because bringing it for one half against this George Mason team, even if it is like late in the second half to try and pull off a comeback – it's going to be tough because they're so physical. The whole A-10 is so physical, but George Mason in particular has a ton of size and physicality. And bringing it for the full 40 minutes is I think, the only way St. Joe's is going to be able to get it done. It'll be tough to pull it off on a late comeback with just a strong second half of shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And like, not to bring this to me, make the show about Tony, but, you know, I was on the track and field team. You know, that's a mental sport. And I don't know, for me, when I hear these guys who's like, I got to show up mentally, you say, you know, you want to talk about showing up mentally to something like the minute, if you fall out of a mental rhythm 1 minute in a 30-minute race, you're done. Your race is done. You're wasting your time out there. In basketball, you can fall asleep for a minute. It's not the end of the world. So for me, it's like, I hear these guys, it's like, I don't know, maybe I just get a little extra frustrated because I'm like, if I played basketball, of course I would, it's so much more mentally easier to show up for that. And be like engaged kind of thing than just to throw your hands up, because it's like, you can sit on the bench, you can call a timeout, you can recollect yourself, you know, you can't do that in other sports, like, you know, if you're a cyclist or something like that. So those sports is like you have to be like mentally crazy to be really great. And I've known some people who aren't like that, that forced themselves to be good because of it. They willed themselves. I'm like, well, can we will ourselves? And some people are just born with it and some people aren't. And I guess some of these guys, you know, we ask them to do it and it's just not as consistent in that regard. But yeah, I mean, it's a matter of staying awake, not falling asleep for 3 minutes. And, you know, Coach Lang can't just bail you out with a timeout every time something's going wrong.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to that point, Coach Lang is definitely a huge part of being able to bring it for 40 minutes. You just talked about, you know, the mental side of basketball, being able to like game manage properly. We saw it. I mean, Travis Ford today with St. Louis was the perfect example. Every time Rhode Island made a run and St. Louis was reeling a little, he had the perfect timeout and the perfect adjustments to be able to pull it back. And I think that's so huge to being able to bring it for that full 40 minutes, is having a coach who knows when to make the right switches, what adjustments to make, what timeouts to call. And I know a lot of people have been critical of Billy Lang for that throughout this season. And I think tomorrow will be another opportunity, depending on what happens with St. Joe's, for people to potentially be critical of game management. So we'll have to see how they handle it from a coaching standpoint, as well as, you know, the team just being able to do it for the full 40 minutes against a tough George Mason team.
Absolutely. So easy to over and under manage a game, that's for sure.
So easy.
So let's go to this then. Let's go to the prediction. What are you actually expecting for tomorrow? Give us your prediction.
I did write in my Mid-Major Madness preview that I was picking St. Joe's over George Mason in the first round, but to lose, excuse me, in the second round, but to lose to number one seeded Richmond following that. Of course, St. Joe's alum myself, I'm hopeful something else goes the other way. I try not to be too biased on the sidelines, but
well, they'll kick you out if you are, I guess.
I always joke, it's tough not to be when St. Joe's is playing. They're my least favorite team to cover because I got my heart's on my sleeve when they're on the court.
Yeah, and you're like, you don't want to like piss off and not get like access to like the team that you like. And I guarantee you, your biggest following is those guys too, because people, you know that you're from the program and everything. You're an alumni and such.
Yeah, yeah. The St. Joe's community has definitely been great. I know for you guys as well.
Yeah. Well, this is why we invite you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. I always appreciate that.
I think that's a reasonable prediction.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than coming on here and saying George Mason's going to beat us, which I kind of have a shaky feeling about, because we could easily be doing that. But I'm going to say this, Riley. I'm hoping that, because this is how the schedule of the podcast would go, that you and I are doing another podcast, because we wouldn't do one after George Mason, but that we're doing one after Richmond, looking forward to our next game. So I'm going to go, give me two wins. It's probably not going to happen, but I'm going to put myself as that as my expectation.
Listen, Tony, I hope we're right back here on a Zoom call Friday night together, getting to talk it all over. But yeah, I think I'll pick St. Joe's. It'll be a tough game. Like I said, George Mason's so physical, so much size to deal with. But I think hopefully we've been starting to see a little bit of an upward trend from Rashier, Casper. Hopefully Kriest is going to play some decent minutes. I didn't get to watch the entirety of the Davidson game. I don't recall how many minutes he played there. I was at Fordham that day doing some coverage. But I think all the intangibles are there. Let's see it for a full 40-minute stretch. Let's do our best to contain them on the defensive end. Like you said, Tony, the mental side is huge. This is a big game. Let's get up for it. We need the guys on the interior to kind of hold down Keyshawn Hall. I know Amar Kelly, Darius Maddox are going to be two other names, obviously, to keep an eye out for. Both incredible players for George Mason, bought in through the transfer portal this season. But I think you bring that on the defensive end, and a lot of the offensive questions kind of answer themselves. And hopefully we start to see Eric Reynolds take this team back by the reins. He's, you know, obviously him and Cam are kind of the veterans here in Brooklyn this postseason. Let's see the veteran guys take the reins, lead the younger guys, and hopefully that'll be able to help hold things down on the interior defensively, set the tone offensively for St. Joe's to hopefully set the pace from, you know, with their three-point shooting and be able to work it inside a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I was hoping for? Not that this is too ill will to the George Mason fan base, but I was hoping for a little drama, because there was those rumors going around that the kid wasn't going to play, that he was going to sit out. I forget what his name was, but whatever, one of the George Mason kids was like, they were rumors saying that he was going to sit out and not play the A-10 tournament because he's going to transfer somewhere else. That would have been real drama. I forget what the name is, and it's bad. I never claimed to be a reporter. That's your job, I guess. But I did see it out on the Twitter threads, and I was thinking, oh man, I'd love a juicy story, because sometimes, especially with the Billy Lang era, the Mason guys are a little loud about Coach Billy Lang. They like to throw rocks at glass houses, just a little bit. And man, I would have loved a good juicy story about George Mason imploding before the game even starts.
Listen, Tony, we've had a lot of drama around the league this year between Travis Ford, Archie Miller.
Guy with his shoes at the A-10 tournament.
The St. Louis fan with no shoes. Dayton, obviously, ranked but not winning out in conference. It's been a little bit of a strange year. Definitely slightly more of an up year compared to last year for the conference. But, you know, I think it would be best maybe if we could avoid any drama.
More drama.
For tomorrow in general.
yeah, that's probably what the league wants. Speaking of drama, a little bit of drama. Our boy Eric Reynolds, first team all-conference. Xavier Brown, A-10 player, A-10 rookie of the year.
Well deserved.
I don't think there's drama. I totally agree with those decisions. I would say, you know, I was thinking about this, and we'll end on this, Riley, just as a congratulations to those guys.
Yeah.
Is if you told me at the beginning of the season this is where we were going to finish, A-10 rookie of the year, first team all A-10, Eric Reynolds, and then we were going to have above 500 and then 500 record play, I would have been like, okay, there was probably some ups and downs, but we had a solid season.
Yeah, there's something to build on for sure.
Right. So I think you're in agreement with that, but I just want to say that for all the listeners out there thinking about, like, really truly put yourself back in that time period of October. And it's not even about which teams we beat and which teams we lost, just the pure record, the awards we're getting, and then everything else from here is going to be if we can get some wins, icing on the cake. I would say people say, okay, we moved in the right direction. Definitely not a negative year. It was a positive year. I think it's a tease because we saw what was possible and we didn't get it. But, you know, you're not going to, you can't have it all, I guess. You're not going to have the miracle season every year.
Yeah. And I think I even said it on here earlier, Tony. I think something people need to remember, and not to sound necessarily like a Billy Lang defender, I guess I haven't decided if I'm in or out on him 100% yet. But this is still a very young team outside of Cam and Eric. who are, you know, obviously two guys who have been to Brooklyn, finding some success last year. But this is still just overall a very young team. So I think, you know, having a guy like X Brown win Conference Rookie of the Year speaks to hopefully, you know, the direction this program is heading. Again, after such a hot non-conference slate, you know, with the upsets over Villanova, Princeton, like, you would have liked to see a little more over in conference play. Like you said, there's, I think if you looked at it overarching without having watched a single game this season, you'd know there were some ups and downs, but I think it still gives you something to build off of having such an exciting young core if Coach Lang is able to keep it together again this offseason. And having that Conference Rookie of the Year again just gives you something to build towards. So I think it's really exciting. I know I picked Eric, I know I picked X as my all conference rookie of the year in my media poll. I know you and Pete as well took part in the three bid league media poll. Yes. Eric Reynolds, I do think could maybe be a little bit more of a discussion piece, though. I know I had him, was debating between my second and third team for him personally. There's just so many good players in the A-10 who I think have made such a big step up this year, and particularly in conference play, he was slacking a little bit late toward the end of the season, just, you know, a couple poor shooting performances starting to pile up, and, you know, it definitely shows on the St. Joe's record because he's, you know, supposed to be the main guy for this team, supposed to be the leader. But he's still 100% warrants an all-conference selection. I'm absolutely elated that, you know, he ended up making the first team. And I just, again, if he still potentially has another year, I don't know how realistic it is. People seem to suggest he's an NBA talent. I'm certainly no scout myself. He can shoot it. He can shoot the lights off the ball, and he certainly is an incredible talent. I mean, we've every St. Joe's fan listening has, you know, seen it firsthand. But again, he's still got another year left, so you never know. You never know what's going to happen this offseason.
And with the NIL,
particularly with the NIL, Tony, it's been crazy.
Makes it easy,
especially with St. Joe's getting announced that they'll be playing in that $1 million NIL competition.
You mean St. John's?
No, Tony. St. John's this year.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Next year. So we get 2 years from now, something to think about at least. Yeah. You know, it gives you a reason for someone like X Brown to stay around over the next couple of years, you know, knowing he's going to make all NIL money 2 years down the line. So I know we didn't really talk about it on the show, but like being a part of that competition, like all the influence that NIL has, it certainly benefits St. Joe's in a lot of ways.
Hey, we got a lot of publicity just from being on the wrong broadcasts. People thought, wow, St. Joe's really stepping up its game, getting invited.
I joked, whoever sent that memo around must have wrote SJU, and it just got confused.
And this is a reminder, all St. John's graduates, we're the real SJU.
Yes.
Don't you dare forget it.
Being a St. Joe's grad from New York, oh my gosh, I never hear the end of it, Tony. Especially because the big thing is, and I don't know, I feel like people joke about this, but it's like a real thing. St. Joe's legally is SJU over St. John's. They're not, they're STJ. But nonetheless, I wear my SJU gear around here, and
they're New York, STJ. Really, they're going to get away with? And we're in March. We're in the month of St. Joseph himself. I'm not giving up that battle.
I'm not giving it up either. I stand my ground firm. I wear my SJU gear around here, and people will be like, "Did you go to St. John's or something?" And I firmly tell them no.
No.
So I debate my friends on this all the time. Obviously, being a New Yorker, I have a couple buddies who, you know, are St. John's fans, and I never hear the end of it, but I won't let them win.
Sad. That's sad! Exclamation mark. That's
because I do, especially because I do think outside of New York, like SJU is St. Joe's.
If people know what St. Joe's is,
yeah,
because exactly. I'm in the Midwest, and they just think the Big Ten's the only conference that exists. And by the way, the Big Ten, I'll stand on this record, worst conference in basketball. I can't wait to watch them all lose and cry in March Madness. Happens every year, and it's my favorite. It's literally my favorite experience is watching the Big 12 show that they're actually the best conference in all of sports, not only with basketball, but soon to be with football too. You thought they were the conference that was screwed. They're actually going to come out on top. I'm a firm believer in that. Absolutely.
Well, Tony, I think we've got Villanova on the bubble too. So secretly for us St. Joe's fans, it would be interesting if they ended up missing out on the tournament. I wouldn't be upset.
I know, that's wild too. Well, that's a conversation for another day, but I would love that too. St. John's getting that invite. Give it to us. I mean, St. John's is nothing We have bigger national games.
Their coach has thrown everyone under the bus. Yeah. It's bad for media. You want a more humble program like St. Joe's.
Yeah, even though I was a big proponent of hiring Pitino when he was available. Hire Pitino. He's around when they got rid of Martelli.
That would have been crazy.
Oh, that would have been madness. People would have, we don't even know where we would have landed. And then the pandemic hit. It would have just been craziness.
Yeah. He likes being home in New York. He's a New Yorker. So.
Yeah, for sure. And also, speaking of like coaches, it's so weird for me to see Jay Wright on the broadcast.
They
got him right up there, man, with CBS. He's like, he looks sharp in the suit.
Crazy. But everybody knows Jay Wright. I don't blame him for you know, throwing him right into the hot water and getting him on the broadcast.
He's a legendary coach. It only benefits CBS.
Yeah, definitely. Just good for Philly basketball, seeing the fellow Big Five people, you know, getting after it, getting out there. Got to see Bill Rafferty today with Sal Grad.
Nice. There you go. And then you still get to ask Fran questions tomorrow.
Yep.
So there you go.
All the Big Five media people I get to chat with after.
Dude, I still think about the potential for the 4-time LaSalle matchup. It was so close to happening, you know. LaSalle beating Temple could have happened, and then who knows in the A-10 tournament. They would have been hilarious. I mean, I would have hated it, but it would have been just something. It would have been a meme forever.
Yeah, I know it was a bit of a running joke, but I think secretly us St. Joe's fans and LaSalle fans all kind of would have enjoyed getting
just to make everyone else suffer. Like all the other A-10 schools, like, oh, wow, St. Joe's is playing. Who they play? Oh, LaSalle. Damn, I got to watch that again. Okay, Riley, I know you've had a long day. You got a long day tomorrow, so we'll let you go, but we appreciate you come. Friends of the show, the game is tomorrow, 11:30 Eastern, USA Network. Follow Riley for the live. You're going to be at the game tomorrow, right? You're taking off from
coverage,
work?
Yep.
There we go. Live coverage. So,
all four tomorrow.
Riley, tell them where they can find you so they can get the live coverage. This is the man asking the tough questions.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're not already following the Hawk Talk podcast, I mean, come on. You got to get on top of
that. I'm impressed.
Of course.
Yeah.
But you can find me on Twitter, just at Riley Frain, RileyFrain. I do a ton of college basketball coverage for Mid-Major Madness and the Porter Report as well. So if you're interested in anything, any of that, check it out. I'm all over the A-10 doing coverage, and I'm a St. Joe's guy as well. So always supporting the Hawks, always trying to cover them as much as I can. But, yeah, definitely, if you're interested in mid-major hoops, come stop by my Twitter. Check it out. There's always good coverage going on.
Riley, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We know that we enjoy the coverage. We enjoy your presence on the show. And friends of the show or fans of the show, we appreciate you listening in. As I said, game tomorrow at 11:30, and we'll be recapping whatever happens in the next 2 days. Hopefully it's with a win. So, as always, the Hawk will never die.